Thank you very much, Hannah. Ladies and gentlemen, first I'd like to thank very much for the organizers for inviting me here. It's a great honor for me. And I will talk about data protection and beyond data protection or beyond how I see it as a data protection commissioner, what problems we have with our current data protection framework and how this framework should be reformed in a way that we can tackle the challenges relating to Internet of Things and other IT developments of the current age. First, let me talk about the challenges and the generations of data protections we have. You might know or might not know if you are not lawyers that data protection began in 1970 in Germany in the state of Hesse. And of course that was an age of mainframe computers, so a very different age from now. There were four or three or five mainframe computers in, for example, in a German state, and the state wanted to control these five or three mainstream computers, main databases, including personal data. Of course, that was an other age of information technology, but interestingly, many of the instruments of the current data protection legislation, for example, the Data Protection Registry, which is, in my view, a very awkward and bureaucratic instrument or institution, is still existing. So we have institutions, provisions of our current data protection acts that stems from the 1970s. The second generation came with a very important decision of the German Constitutional Court in 1983 about the informational self-determination, and that is what we have now, for example, in Hungary, data protection legislation based on the so-called information self-determination right, which tells that if anyone processes your personal data, and the definition of personal data, as Mr. Santucci told us earlier, is a very important thing, and I will mention this later. So if anyone processes your personal data, then you have to consent it, or you have to be authorized by law to do that. And the third generation of acts are also important. I will talk about them later. These are only initiatives, I might say. These are not laws in existence, or they are existing only in certain countries. So the second generation we can associate with the PC age, and the third generation, which I hope that we will have in few years, will be associated with our new age, with cloud computing and the Internet of Things. What problems do we have with the current framework? Of course, the existing EU framework is outdated. It comes from 1995, when the directive, the EU Comprehensive Data Protection Directive, was passed. And it was, of course, the Internet was invented decades earlier, of course, but the general acceptance and general use of the Internet can be dated to the second half of the 1990s, for example, in Hungary. And the problem is that the current EU directive comes before that age. So the drafters, the founding fathers of the European data protection legislation couldn't reflect on this new phenomenon of the Internet. And there is another problem. There is a cultural clash between the EU and the USA. The EU has its own comprehensive and strict data protection legislation, while the USA has privacy acts, actually, but they are concentrated on the sensitive issues, for example, credit reporting or the health sector or other sectors which are considered, or data breach notification issues and sectors that are considered sensitive. And I always like to include this slide into my presentations. This is an American web page where you can look for criminals. You can look their names, their faces, where do they live. These databases in the United States are considered public. There is a different balance between transparency and between privacy in the United States. This slide or this web page, actually it's familywatchdog.us, would not be workable under EU data protection legislation. Of course it's working in the United States. So, just very briefly about our other problems. I don't know how much time I have.
5 more minutes.
5 more minutes, okay, that will be enough. Regulating cyberspace. Maybe you are aware of the Mr. Lawrence Lessig, who is a well-known cyber lawyer from the United States, and he put that internet is regulated by code. But what do you mean by code? Do you mean software code, or do you mean the codes of laws? That is the question, ladies and gentlemen. And one might say that software code regulates the internet, not the law issued by states. The first try or attempt to regulate the internet was the 1996 Communications Decency Act from the United States, which later held unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court. But that was the first minute, the first time when you could see this conflict of state regulation and self-regulation, state regulation or the regulation of other actors. When the Communications Decency Act was held unconstitutional by the US Supreme Court, many constitutional lawyers argued that it is not a good thing. We have to get state regulation in the internet, because unless that, other actors will take on, and they will regulate, private actors will regulate the internet, not the state, and that is not a democratic process. Only regulation by state is democratic. And what can we see in 2011? We can see WikiLeaks, we can see this video leaked by WikiLeaks. Of course, it was classified by the US as state secret. It was leaked by WikiLeaks. What we can see is another example of, you know, regulation not by the state. It, what will be made public or what will not made public now is regulated by WikiLeaks, because arguably the US freedom of information legislation didn't work very well in this case. So data protection and internet governance, we have problems on both areas. What are the solutions regarding data protection? The first attempts to tackle these issues were formed within our current data protection system, data protection legislation. There are many existing innovative laws on national level. For example, as to the very important definition of personal data, the Austrian law differentiates between direct and indirect personal data. It is a very important problem for non-lawyers. It has to be explained in a way that, for example, if an IP address qualifies as personal data, is it a good thing if we regulate it very strictly? Is it a good thing in the age of Internet of Things, where even my running shoes can have IP addresses, if we qualify it as personal data or not? This question has very much implications, actually, to another issue which was raised here by a previous speaker, and this is how European companies can compete with their US and Asian partners if we have too stringent data protection laws. So we have to somehow to build a more complex and not so rigid system as we have now. And for example, this Austrian solution is an interesting one. In Germany, we have the data protection audit, which is a new instrument of data protection law, and which tries to focus on improving the competitiveness in the field of data protection or privacy compliance of different companies by making a framework of audit where they can prove that they are the best in the field of data protection and they can turn it into a competitive advantage. And the United States, it's very interesting. I recently had the chance to spend a few weeks in the United States to make a small research in the privacy regulation. And actually, they have very good instruments in the field of privacy regulation. For example, any US federal agency setting up a system which processes personal data has to make a privacy impact assessment. This is mandatory in the United States government, and I think our next speaker will talk about privacy impact assessment, so I'm very much looking forward to that. And there is a convergence, I might say, between the US and the EU legal framework, and that's how we can solve this issue of cultural clash. That is my hope, that this new act now being passed by the United States legislation, for example, the Kerry-McKim Privacy Commercial Bill of Rights Act and the Don't Track bills initiated by various senators and members of Parliament will have an effect. And of course, from the other side, from the EU side, we have the new European framework drafted by Hanna and her colleagues. That's for data protection. And do we have something more than data protection? Do we need something more or something beyond data protection? That would be my last question to the other participants as well. Maybe data protection is not up to the challenge of Internet of Age. We'll see that, but there are many interesting initiatives beyond the current existing data protection framework. For example, in 2008, as I recall, there was a German Constitutional Court decision which set up the right to confidentiality and integrity of IT systems. So it's no longer about personal data or such fuzzy definitions, but about a laptop, about your database at an ISP, about your data in the cloud somewhere out there. So it's a very new way of thinking about privacy, a new constitutional right related to the IT systems themselves. And of course, a previous speaker mentioned the two stringent data protection laws of Europe. He didn't say that he was very diplomatic, but maybe that's right. We have to, I am an information commissioner, so I have both competences, data protection and freedom of information transparency. And the other issue that I wanted to raise in my presentation was that we have to find a new balance between the two. There was a case at the European Court of Justice last year when the European Court of Justice held that from an official meeting you cannot get the minutes, or you can get the minutes of an official meeting held by the European Commission, but personal data of the officers who were present were deleted just because they were personal data. And my colleague, Mr. Hastings, the European Data Protection Commissioner, also challenged that decision because he thought that it was too strong data protection. It is not data protection for to protect officers from the scrutiny of the public. So we have to find new balance between the two. And ladies and gentlemen, maybe we have to have privacy protection, real privacy protection instead of data protection. Thank you very much. Thank you for your attention, and I'm looking forward to the debate.